Well, good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning? Come on. It is right. I mean, if you can't enjoy life, what's it living for, right? I mean, come on, we gotta have fun every day, right? So we're gonna have some fun this morning. Y'all ready to have some fun this morning? All right, good. I got a good message for you. I really believe that God has given me a fantastic message that I think will speak to every single one of us. And so we're going to do it. And if you are a note taker, if you ever see me on the front row, I always got my phone out and I love taking notes because I always like to go back to them, kind of visit and see what God was kind of saying in those messages. And so feel free, please take notes. If you are a note taker, I'm titling the title of this message called Just Come Home. Just Come Home, all right? And so you'll find out a little bit more about it, but that's going to be the title of today's service. Before we get too deep into the word, let's go ahead and pray and give this service. So if you'll join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. We're thankful for so many of the blessings that you do for every single one of us. And so, Father, I just ask that you now speak into us this morning. You speak into our soul, and you speak into our situation that you know better than anybody else in this world. And Lord, we ask for you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears this morning to get the word that you have for every single one of us who are here this morning in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is here, and anything can happen. All right, now turn to the second option that you didn't choose and tell him, hey, it's good to have you here in church too. All right. All right, now that we're warmed up, ready to go, here we go. All right, so growing up as a kid, I was always a very curious person. I was a visual learner. Growing up, I loved Marvel comic books. I loved the Marvel movies. Come on, any Marvel, anybody love the superheroes? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. They're taking over the theaters. I absolutely love them. Now, when I was a child, I would put myself in those movies, okay? Now, I don't care what you say. I don't care who you think is the best. Wolverine is definitely the best, okay? I know there's a lot of characters out there, but it's just wrong. He is the best, and I truly thought that I was him. Now, you know, I didn't quite have all the muscles or the metal fangs that would come out, but nonetheless, I did. I felt like I was Wolverine, and so as I become a Christian and really dove into the word, what I love to do is I insert myself into these stories and I want to try to see how much they can kind of come alive. And so I do the same thing. I don't know if you've ever done this. Like, have you ever read the Bible and say, you know, like with Moses and parting the Red Sea, like, did you ever wonder, like, what was that like? Like, the thing that I wonder is when the sea was, you know, parted, were like fish coming up to the edge? Like, did they see like whales' heads like poking out? Like, kind of like, what in the world is going on right here? I mean, can you imagine being when Jesus fed the 5,000. I mean, the question I have to ask is I would have to grab a basket. There's more fish. This dude is still doing it. You know, like, I can't imagine. I love putting myself in these stories. And so I'm going to do that this morning with the story that I have for you. And I'm also going to ask that you do the same thing. I want you to put yourself in this story, all right? Now, one thing I learned very early on in Macy and I's marriage is that both of us have a different way that we dream, all right? Let me tell you the way that I dream. I had this reoccurring dream as a child. I don't know why it ended. I wish it didn't. It's a phenomenal dream, okay? But here's how the dream went. I had three guys break into my home, and for some reason, I don't know what the item was, but I had the prized possession, okay? They were breaking into my room, and they were going to steal this item, okay? What they did not know was that I was a ninja, okay? It's my dream. I can be whatever I want, right? So I'm sitting there. They think I'm asleep. What they don't know, I got my ninja eye open. I'm looking. I see what they got going on. I'm thinking, if they get close enough to me, I'm a hungry boy. So I know there's a fork on my nightstand, you know? So I'm always eating right before. I can grab the fork and stab them right there, you know? So, okay, they get close enough, right? So what do? I do a 360 move out of the bed. While I'm in midair, I grab the fork and stab the guy right in his behind, all right? So they're scared, they're screaming, they're hollering, they're going down the steps. We live on a cul-de-sac, and so they're going out to this cul-de-sac, and so what does any young, good superhero in his dream do? He chases after them. I chase after them bad guys, all right? I go after them. Of course, I round up all three of them. I tie them to the light pole. I call the police. Say, hey, listen, this is what just happened, but don't worry about it. I got it taken care of. They're taped to my light pole. So get here whenever you want. They're going to be here. I'm going to go back to bed. I go back to bed. I wake up. I mean, is that not a phenomenal dream? That's how dreams are supposed to happen, right? Now, Macy, on the other hand, I have been woken up on numerous occasions where she's just frantic. Like, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. She's waking up. I'm like, babe, what in the world's happening? She's like, I'm getting chased. I'm just getting chased. I'm like, babe, we got to work on this. You don't get chased in your dreams. Like, you are the chaser. Like, you're the superhero in this story, right? All right, so we dream differently. And I love that this has been passed on to kind of our boy. He also loves superheroes. And for him, the best superhero is Spider-Man. And at any given moment, come on, got another Spider-Man here in there. And at any given moment, he can walk around a corner and he's going to give you one of those little shooting web things, right? And he, oh, God, got me. You know, so I love that he does this. So like any good parent, we flood him with all things Spider-Man over Christmas, right? We get him this one toy because any young kid who wants to be Spider-Man wants to do what? Shoot the web. We get him web shooter. Now, what they don't know, I'm sure they did. They probably told us in the fine print that, like, nobody reads, that it takes 55 minutes to put this little canister together, okay? So finally, we get this thing together. I got Chris helping me, and he's the more talented one in this whole equation and putting this stuff together. We finally figured out how to put it together. And the unfortunate thing that happens is once we finally got it together, it shot web for like 4 seconds. And you know he wants like 18 more canisters, and they cost like $8 each, and you know we didn't do that. But regardless, the other thing that they don't tell you on this piece of paper is that when they shoot this thing, it never stops. Like, it doesn't stop, and it goes all over the place. It's going over walls. It's going in our bathtub. It's going in our carpet on the floor. And it's blue, of course, and it stains everything. Being the good dad I am, you know, I don't want to, you know, trifle his creativity and all that. You know, within reason, my wife is much better at this, but within reason, you know, we're going to have fun with this. I love seeing how God has kind of created him and how he likes to have fun. And so, you know, I didn't do it. We had a great time with it. I'm dodging, weaving, and all that kind of stuff for those 4 seconds, and I'm glad it only lasted 4 seconds because that's about all the energy I got these days. You know, so, but I love that. And the story of what I want to tell you today is what I know without a shadow of a doubt is the father in this story is head over heels in love with his son, okay? When you read the story, and when we go through it, you're gonna see how much this father loves his son. So we're gonna read it together. It comes out of Luke chapter 15. And what I love about this is I really feel like it's God's version of kind of cracking the door into heaven to truly show us, like we know that God loves us, but I think this story really opens up the door to heaven and says, listen, you think I really love you. You matter to me. It shows the character of God of how much he wants to put hope into every single situation of our lives. So let's go ahead and do it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Join with me. If you don't, you got your iPhone. I know a lot of people do their iPhones. Go ahead and open up your Bible app. Love for you to kind of keep going with me. Get your iPads open. If you don't have any of that, don't worry. Everybody's got eyeballs. You can find me right up here on this screen, all right? So anyway, you can do it. Follow along with me in the story. Starts off with this. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. Verse 11, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed his pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, key phrase, if you want to highlight something, highlight that phrase right there. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father. Another key phrase, highlight that phrase, most important phrase in this whole scripture. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as one of your hired servants. So he returned to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to the father, said, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you and no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe, put it on him, get him a ring, put the sandals on his feet, kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive. He has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Now, I wish the story ended there, but it didn't. So let's read on. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working, and he returned home. He heard all kind of music and dancing and asked one of the servants, what in the world is going on? Your brother is back, he told him, and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all of these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering all your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing a fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Can I hear just a good amen for that story? I mean, I love that story. I love everything about that story. I think it's just one of the greatest stories. Actually, Charles Dickens even said this about the story. He said, it's the greatest story of all time for what is captured in it. And as I begin to think about this time, I read over that story over and over again, and I just started kind of unpacking a lot of thoughts kind of around this whole thing. So I just kind of want to take a little bit of time this morning just to share a few thoughts that I kind of have with you around this topic or this biblical application that we can take from this story around shame, okay? So the story begins where Jesus is around the Pharisees. These Pharisees, if you've ever seen the movie Mean Girls, this is them. I mean, like these dudes, they're just awful. They're hardcore. I mean, they make fun of people all the time. They're rough. They're just judging people. I mean, they're over in the corner being like, man, you see Jesus? That's like, you see who he's eating with? Like, I just wouldn't associate with him. Like, you know how much we know? I mean, like, they're making fun of all these sinners. And they're just murmuring all the time. And so Jesus is kind of picking up on this thing. And what I love about Jesus is he doesn't just let it kind of happen. He sees it going on. They're making fun of all the people that Jesus chooses to be with and who he chooses to eat with. And so he comes over and does this. He comes over and he strings together these three stories. One is of the lost sheep. One is of the lost coin. And he ends up in the story of the lost son because he wants to help them with the harshness of their heart. Because they just have such a hard heart towards the people that Jesus is choosing to spend his time with. So first off, we jump into the story where this young son wants to leave, okay? Now, you have to wonder, at least I do, I wonder about this. Again, I'm trying to force myself into these situations, and I'm taking a look at all these kind of things, and I ask this question, why in the world would this boy want to leave his home? I mean, he's got a really incredible home, so why would he want to do that, right? Well, the truth in Scripture is that we actually do not know. It does not tell us. Now, there's 1,000 reasons that we could honestly come up with. Why in the world do people do the things that they do? I mean, right? I mean, if I had time today, I would show you some YouTube videos of the stupid things that people do because, after all, they loaded them up there, so I get the enjoyment of laughing at them, right? All right, but we don't have time. If you're lacking anything to do today, type in YouTube, follow. You'll get countless things of entertainment. It's fantastic. But it is the question of why do people do these things that they do? And I don't know about you, but over time and over life, we ask these questions all the time of why? Like, why? Why did I make that decision? Like, I mean, Dave, honestly, I've made this mess up, this screw up 100 times. Like, seriously, why can't you get this thing together? You know, why in the world? I'm not smart enough. I can't do the position that I'm in. I'm not good enough to leave people or do whatever or be this in my job. Why? Like, why in the world am I not a good son or a good daughter or a good mother or father or husband or wife? Why? Like, why did I do this? I mean, the list literally goes on and on the things that play in our head every single day, all right? All we know is that he walks away from the father and the father lets him go. And you can imagine, like any decent father, he breaks down. Now, I'll never forget, every year we go to Israel for 10 days. We're actually getting ready to go on this trip here in just a few weeks. And it is literally my favorite trip, not only for me personally, but when you get to see people journey in the Holy Land and the Bible comes alive, they are forever changed. So I love this trip. The thing that I did not plan for is, in that meantime, we had our son Baylor, who was 2 years old, and we just had twins, okay? So they were a couple months old. My wife was staying back with the family and some of their friends to help take care of them. What I did not take into consideration was how much I was going to miss my boys, okay? So we go on this trip. It's a fantastic trip. 10 days goes by. We're back in Charleston, and I am excited. Like, I cannot wait to get my hands around my boy, right? Yeah, you see some, oh, I'm gonna tell you, be gone for 10 days. It's gut-wrenching. And I'll never forget, in the Charleston airport, you can see this glass wall, and I see him holding that sign. And I literally, I'm just beside myself. I'm like scraping people away, like, I gotta get to my son, I wanna get to my son, I gotta get to him. I wanna put my arms around him. So I finally get to my son, and I hug him. And he just does the best, like, deep hug that I've ever had, and it just did something on the inside of me. What I did not account for was I cried like a little baby right there in front of hundreds of people in this airport, but I missed my son, and I was so glad. And so I can't imagine what this dad was going through, because we know that this boy leaves, and the father lets him go. And I can imagine how hard that is, to know that what your boy is getting ready to get involved with, but you gotta let him go. And so he breaks away from his dad. And you know what happens? We just read the story. He lives this reckless life. Now, we don't know how long he was gone. Scripture does not tell us how. He could have been gone for 2 days. He could have been gone for 2 months. He could have been gone for 2 years. We don't know. But there is one person, and I can guarantee you, who knew how long he was gone. His father. I guarantee you knew exactly how long. And every single time he did the laundry and came across the one sock, like, where does the sock go? Like, the one sock that's missing? Like, there's got to be the biggest ball of, like, missing socks that, like, where do they go? Like, the only reason I got matching socks on this morning is because they're a Christmas gift and I haven't used them yet, you know? So this is the one, like, here you go. There's evidence. Like, if I didn't have these, they would have mismatched, right? But I can imagine this dad, like, every single time that he went and saw that sock, or how about the tools that he used all across this property, and he's sitting there going, man, I wonder how my boy is. I hope he's safe. I hope he's safe. You can imagine every single time he went by his boy's room. God, I wonder where my boy is. I wonder how he's doing. Over and over again. Now, here's the other side, too, is that this dad, just so you know, this was not just a family ordeal. Let me give you some biblical context here. In Eastern times, back in that time, this was not just a family issue. This was a community issue. And so he didn't just shame the family. He shamed an entire community. And so you know what was coming after the dad was all these words of just, God, can you just give it up? Like, you saw what your son did to you. Look at him. I mean, he's such an embarrassment. You see the stories. You hear the stories of what's going on. You see how he squandered all of your money away. Like, he's an embarrassment, man. Just give it up. Look how much he's hurt you. And so, you know, the dad had his own just crazy amount of shame that was put on him from this community. And he hears it all. He does. He takes it all in. But guess what? He keeps watching the horizon. Because he knows one day that his son is coming home. He does not lose hope. The Bible says that one day this thing comes true, and he sees his son off in the distance. And what does he do? He runs. He runs towards his son because he's dreamt of this day for so long. He didn't know if his son was alive. He didn't know if his son was hurt. But the day has finally come. His son is home. And he runs after him. Let me pause the story right there, because I want to go to the other side of the story here. That's the son, or that's the father. Let's go to where the son is. This boy starts off living life. He has got his inheritance. He's got money. I'm sure he was searching after some fame, wanted some popularity. He's in the bar. He's buying out the bars of all the drinks and all that kind of stuff, getting all these new friends. But scripture says, his brother says he spends it on prostitutes. So he's getting all these prostitutes, buying his buddies, all the girls that they want. And so he's doing all this stuff. And he makes bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And he ends up in this place where he's working, he's living, and it gets to all the way rock bottom where he wants to eat out of a pig pen. This is his rock bottom. This is where he is. Can you imagine the shame that is on this kid? You know, we've all made bad decisions in our lives, right? And I think the worst part about those decisions is when the next morning comes and you're living with it and you're going through it and you're reliving that decision over and over and over again, thinking, why in the world did I do that? I knew going into the situation it was going to be bad. Why did I do this? Can you imagine the shame that he had? And this is the tricky thing about shame, is it has these voices in our head. You see, the enemy doesn't have a lot of tricks, but this is one of his tricks that he plays on us literally every single day. Because here's the thing I know about shame, is there's not a single person in this room, including myself, that this does not affect. Now, here's the hope that I have for everybody. Is there some of you guys that are sitting in here and you've heard these messages from Meg and Eddie, and you know that you are a new creature inside of God, and that is fantastic. And what I hope is that when you hear those voices in your head, you say, you know what? Nope. I already know how I'm made. I know how I'm designed. I'm going to walk this way. Good for you. I'm proud of you. But what I also know is that there's seasons where you're not so good. And then before you know it, you end up down the road and you're thinking, how in the world did I get here? That's the thing that shame does. And shame in this boy's head, I can just imagine, is saying, hey, man, keep going. You can do this. You don't need other people. You're talented enough. Be bigger. Be stronger. Get smarter. You can do this on your own. That's one of the things of shame that's so unique, is it gets you in this perpetual cycle of work and perfection. And you saw the video that Meg put of that one weekend where he had so much. I don't know what your upbringing is, but shame can be so much of what we were brought up in our family systems. And you can see how this guy, if you didn't look it up on Goldcast. It was two messages ago. It's a phenomenal thing. But you can begin to see how this guy worked and worked, and he wanted to make a name for himself. And he put himself, because it comes less about God and what God's doing in your life and more about what I can do. Sounds a lot like the enemy, doesn't it? Right? But here's the flip side of shame. Is it also sounds like this is, man, you are needy. Nobody wants to hang out with you. All them friends that you think you just had, they don't need you. They don't want you. You're needy. You don't measure up. You certainly can't go back to your family. I mean, can you imagine how much he compared himself to people? Can you imagine he is the kid that literally squandered all of his dad's money? He has nothing left. He was living in the lap of luxury. He's barely surviving in a pig pen. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, he compared himself to his brother. He's in a bad place. I can't imagine the shame. But here's the thing, is this is the cycle of shame. And the ultimate goal of shame is that it wants to separate us from God. It wants to get us out of the presence of God. Because the further we can do this, the further he can get us separated and outside of the presence of God, the more he can render us useless. The more that when we're a couple weeks down the road and we're thinking, man, why am I not motivated? Why am I not? Gosh, because you've been buying into the shame cycle that he plays in our heads over and over and over again. And so let me encourage you with this. Is the goal of the enemy wants to shame you all the way to the pig pen every single time. He wants to get you to the pig pen as much and as quick as possible. But let me encourage you with this, is that you can cut the shame cycle short. You don't have to buy into the words that the enemy's putting in your life. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't know how much this plays into your life. I know it affects every single one of us. You could have one foot out the door, or you could be like the girl who's in this church and sitting on the row, and literally her words were this: when I sit down in the row beside people, I feel like I contaminate the entire row. You could be somewhere in between. I'm not exactly sure. But you can cut the shame cycle short. All you gotta do is come home. Come home. He returns home, and I love the picture that Jesus tells because he's running. And we know what happens. There's this embrace, there's this love, there's this restoration that happens. And the son begins to give this speech. The father goes like this, son, shh, stop. I don't want to hear that, boy. Because what I'm getting ready to do is I'm getting ready to treat you as if you never left. If you just be quiet for a second, I'm getting ready to treat you as if you never left. And let me give you a side note. I'm not going to spend some time on it today, but it's in the story. It's the side note of the brother. Know that when you make these decisions, there's always going to be somebody sitting on a porch telling that you have no hope, that you can't get rid of your old self. That's the role that this brother played. It's there. It's going to be there. Know that it's there, but get them aside. But here's what I want to do today is I want to give you three quick things that I see in this biblical scripture that says, hey, I want to cut the shame cycle short. I don't want it to take hold of my life. I don't want to have to go to the pig pen every single time. Here's the three things. The first thing is this, is that the boy realized. He realized, he said, I don't belong here. I am not made for this. God has bigger plans for me. I don't belong here. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. He realized. The next thing he did is he repented. He said, I have sinned against my Father in heaven and my Father here on earth. He repented. I think one of the most grace-filled things that God ever did was this whole process of repenting. Now, I'm not talking about the things where you say sorry and it feels like someone's kicking you as you're doing it. No, this word repent means that to turn from, to change, to submit back under God. God is literally waiting for us to do it. He wants us to get back into the embrace of his arms. This was years ago. I don't know where I got this, so I can't give credit to him. But I love this whole process of repenting. And this guy gave a picture of a bungee cord being attached to every single one of us. And the moment that we repent is the moment that that bungee cord is activated. And it's like God's just going, okay, they're repenting. Boom, let me get you back up in my arms. So he recognized. He repented. It activates it. And the third thing of what he did is he came home. He came home. He took a step towards God. And I love this because it's all throughout Scripture. I love that it plays itself out here in this church. I mean, you can get involved. You can go through the growth track. We're getting ready to start that whole thing back up. You can get involved in a small group or a ministry where you can get around people who can speak life into you. But he came home, and before he knew it, he literally made the decision to come home, and before he knew it, he was in the embrace of his Father. Psalm 59:10 says this, is my God is changeless in his love for me. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter the mistake you made. Doesn't matter how you were brought up in life. Doesn't matter how you were treated as a child. No matter what the shame looks like in your life, his love is changeless for us. All he needs us to do is come home. And we need to know that we are 100% loved and accepted by him. He has plans for us. I want you to know that the love is based off of the person giving it, not based off of the performance of the person receiving it. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can do. He wants us to just come home. We are valued. He has great plans for every single one of us. Don't let the shame thing get at you inside of your head and plague, because it happens every single day. Every day we wake up, we get these thoughts in our heads. And I just want to make sure the main point of what today is driven home to you guys is we have the ability to stop the shame cycle. He has fantastic plans for us. I want us to take a look at a spoken word real quick, because it takes this story, condenses it down, and I think it does a fantastic job of telling the story of the prodigal son, and I'll come back and we'll end. Take a listen.
I saw the look in his eyes. He was searching for a prize, worthy of his strength, worthy of his life. In a world full of shiny things, hoped that he'd see his name burning bright up high in the city night. And that's when he came to me, Father, won't you give me what is due to me? I gotta go now. Time for me to get out of this small town. Time for me to live my life, my way, my dreams. It's my right. I know that I gotta dance with the city and own the night. Gotta find someone pretty and toast the wine. Gotta live for the moment, gotta get what's mine. I gotta live for the moment, I gotta shine. I stood right beside him, watched him pack his things. Watched him walk out the door with his hopes and dreams. I pray my best prayer for him every night I sleep. I pray my best prayer for him, yet my soul it weeps. Day after day and week after week, I can still hear his laugh and I can still hear him speak. I remember the day that I had a son. I remember our joy and I remember our fun. Weeks turn to months and months turn to years. The hope of my thoughts now consider the fear. Wonder if he's doing well. Maybe he's found a girl. Maybe he got stuck in jail. Maybe he's been shot and killed. I don't know, but I'd give all that I own just to hold my son again. The tears and the blood that I spent, the nails in my hands and my wrists, to cover the sin and the pain that you're in, to give you my peace that you might love to repent. I place a kiss on his cheek and a crown on his head, just to know that my son's not dead. And if you spent all your gold and you're lost and you're cold, just come home. Just come home. Come home. Just come home.
Just come home. Just come home. That's what our Father wants. He doesn't want us to stay in this cycle. He wants us to just come home. You see, the boy at any moment didn't have to stay the entire time. But that's the goal of the shame cycle. It wants to shame us back in and back in and back in to where we always go all the way back to the pig pen. He could have come home at any point to a father that was dreaming of the day that he would come home. But he went all the way to the end. He just wants us to come home. And so here's what I want to do, how I want to end this service, is I want to pray over you guys. Because I know this affects every single one of us. And I want God to have a moment with us. Because you see, the goal of shame is to get us isolated, to get us away from the presence of God. And so I want to create just a quick moment for you this morning. If no matter where you are on the scale, I don't know what's going on in your life. It can be something simple. You just listen to one thought, and you're doing pretty good. You could be like the girl who was on the road who feel like she shamed the entire road just because of what she's done. I don't know where you are. It could have been just hell to even wake up today to get here. But what I want to do is I want to create a moment to where you can have a moment with God, a conversation with God, because here's the God that we serve. If you notice in that story, the boy didn't have to do all the running. All he had to do was make a decision to change his directions towards our Father. And our Father ran. Our Father runs after us. That's all we have to do. And so I want to pray over every single one of you guys. If you bow your heads, close your eyes. You say, Dave, can I really just come home like the prodigal son? Can I stop the shame cycle? You really can. You really can. You know, I think about this boy, and I'm sure that as he came home, he thought he was going to be beaten or that he probably even deserved to be banished. But when he got there, something happened that he could have never have imagined. He wasn't beaten. He certainly wasn't banished. He was embraced by the Father. And guess what? You'll be embraced by the Father also. So I just want to pray over every single person here that you honestly say, you know what, Dave? I feel distant from God. I do feel that distance. I actually feel really far from God. I want to pray over you because I got great news. you can come home. It doesn't take a Sunday service. You can do this on Monday morning or on Thursday afternoon. It does not matter. But you can come home. Father, I thank you right now for talking to the hearts of every single person in this room. Here, what I want to do real quick before we pray, just keep your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I want to see if we're just connecting the dots. So just real simple, just for a moment, I want you to slip up your hand if you're saying, Dave, you know what? I would like for you to pray over me. I want you to pray over me because I do want this shame cycle to start. I do feel far from God, and I want to come home. There's good news. You can come home. If that's you, just slip up your hand real quick, just so I can connect the dots. That's fantastic. There's hands all across this room. You can put them down. Lord, right now, we love you. We thank you for a word that we can come to and understand that there's words that you have spoken over us. And Father, right now, this morning, we just ask that we recognize it for what it is, that it's a word from the enemy, not from you. You can look all throughout Scripture and hear the words of Moses and David and Peter and all those guys, and they talk through the shame filter. And I love what God does because God doesn't even recognize what they're saying. What God does is he speaks past who they think they are. And he tells Gideon, who says, I'm not worthy. No, let me actually tell you, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior because I have chosen you. You are who I say you are. And so, God, we recognize it exactly for what it is. But secondly, God, we come to you authentically and genuinely and repent for whatever's there. But Lord, at the same time, we authentically accept the grace that you came on this earth so many years ago and died on the cross for us. Lord, we recognize, we repent, but Father, we want to come home. We want to come home. We want to feel your embrace. In Jesus' name, amen. It's just that easy. You don't have to wait on a Sunday morning to do that. You can do it on a Monday morning. You can do it on a Thursday evening. Wherever it is that you do this devotion time, it could be on the porch. It could be in your living room. Just that easy. Just that quick. All we got to do is turn our focus towards him, and he will do it for us. We're going to end in a song. And I want to talk to you. Can I have an honest moment with you? The song that we're getting ready to do is going to be musical perfection. One thing that the Lord has blessed this church with is an amazing worship arts team. They get us in the presence so well. But I want to have an honesty moment with you because I sit in those chairs for you. I sit right over there a lot of weekends. I watch you guys. And we can get lost in the musical perfection sometimes because it sounds great. You're like, oh man, wow. I don't want you to miss this moment. God wants to have an encounter with every single one of us every day of our lives. And he wants to have an encounter with you this morning. And so you're getting ready to hear a song. And what I want you to do is I want you to have a gut level, just honest conversation with him where you do those three steps. You recognize it. You repent to him if you need to repent to him. But then you tell him, Jesus, God, I want to come home. Just let me come home. Because God wants to reveal all the great plans that he has for you. So I give you permission right now in this moment. Make this moment however it needs to look. If you want to sit in those chairs and have that gut level honest conversation with God, sit in the chair. If you want to stand up, raise your hands, do whatever, I don't care. You do that. But don't miss an opportunity that God is wanting to communicate and connect with you this morning. He wants to see the turn. He wants to see the step because God is ready to come after every single one of us this morning, in this moment, and all the moments to come. Let's worship.